I want to share some thoughts with you tonight from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Paul's letter to Timothy, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. Or from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In verse 5, Paul says that there are people who suppose that gain is godliness. In other words, if you're gaining financially, if you're getting richer, then that's an evidence that you are godly. Gain is godliness. But Paul says, from such withdraw thyself. Now, there's nothing wrong with people gaining financially, being blessed to be better off financially, but that is no sign of godliness. A lot of godly people that have lived on this earth were not blessed to accumulate much financially. But notice what he says in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you are a godly person living a godly life and you are content with what you have, Paul says that is great. What? Great gain. And it is. What a blessing it is for people to be content with what they have, instead of buying into what has often been called the prosperity gospel, or the health and wealth gospel. And that is a very popular heresy in America today, and the largest churches in America, I think, preach and teach what we call the prosperity gospel, that God wants you to be rich, and he wants you to be healthy and never sick. Well, that's just not what is found in Scripture. The Apostle Paul had a lot of physical ailments, and he was never financially well off, but I would say he was a godly man, surely, one of the godliest men that have ever lived on this earth. So, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, it's a blessing, isn't it, to just be content. Life, did you know most of life is just, I guess we could say, ordinary? You get up in the morning, a lot of the time it's the same breakfast, you go to work, you come home, you maybe do some chores around the house, visit with the family. But most of life is ordinary. And if you're addicted to excitement, then you're going to burn out pretty quick. Isn't it a blessing just to be able to enjoy ordinary days? Just ordinary days. You don't have to go to Disney World to have a big time. Just be at home with family. Whoever came up with that expression, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. I'd say amen to that. It's a sweet place, isn't it? Just to be at home and to be blessed, to be content with what you have in this life. But what destroys contentment? Why is it that some people are just not content? Well, I want to look first of all tonight at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 42. Let's look at this expression, not verse 42, verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Paul is saying, don't be comparing what you have with what other people have. Because if you do, you'll end up not content with what you've got. I love the story I heard some years ago about a mother who called her two boys in from playing in the yard. One of them was 5 years of old and one was four. And she had some ice cream. And she got a big bowl and filled it full of ice cream for the five-year-old. But she gave the four-year-old his ice cream first in a smaller bowl. And the four-year-old was sitting there enjoying his ice cream. I mean, he was loving it. Until he looked over at his brother's bowl, who was bigger than his. And he wasn't enjoying his ice cream anymore. He was comparing his bowl to his brother's bowl and ended up not being content. Can anybody in the house relate? Now, let's move that into adulthood. A lot of adults do the same thing. They enjoy what they've got until they look around and see what other people have that seemingly is better than what they have. I knew a couple one time that got married, and they had a cute little apartment, two-bedroom apartment, got it furnished, and the wife was so happy that they had their own apartment. They just got married. They got their own space, you know, and they just enjoying it immensely. But a schoolmate of hers that she had graduated with had gone to college and had done real well and had lived in an exclusive neighborhood in town. And they left their little apartment and drove across town to her high school friend's beautiful house. And you know what? She left there very discontented with her little two-bedroom apartment. You know why? Because she was comparing what she had to what her friend had. As a matter of fact, she was happy with her husband until she saw how much this guy was making, how much he was doing. Beloved, that's not God working in their lives. That's the devil. How many of y'all believe there is a devil? You know, most everybody in America say they believe in God, but a lot of people just say, I don't believe there is a devil. Because they compare the devil to a goblin or a make-believe character in a fairy tale. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, Satan is real. He has a personality. And our Savior had to deal with him in his own life. When Jesus was baptized, you know who was waiting on him to try to trip him up? The devil was. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And you know what the devil tried to do? He tried to get Jesus discontented. He'd been hungry. He'd done without food for 40 days. And Satan approaches him and said, if, now you listen to this, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread. Well, Jesus was hungry, and he could have turned that wilderness into a S&S cafeteria. I mean, they could have had all kinds of delicious meat and vegetables and desserts. Jesus could have done that. How many of y'all believe he could have done that? But you see, the devil was trying to trip him up. So Jesus, and listen, he says, if thou be the Son of God, trying to cast doubt in Jesus' mind. Did you know the devil will do the same to you and me if he can? He'll get us to doubt our salvation, that we are the children of God. He will. And listen, a lot of false doctrine in this world will fill you full of doubt about your salvation. Calvinism is good about that. It'll make you wonder if you're a child of God or not. Fill you with all kinds of doubts. The gospel gives you blessed assurance. The true gospel does. So the devil says, if thou be the Son of God. Well, the Father had just spoken at his baptism from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now Satan is wanting Jesus to doubt his sonship. I want all of y'all to leave here tonight. If you have any interest at all in God, in prayer, in the Bible, in worship, that is overwhelming evidence that you are a child of God. And you didn't do anything to get it. He just gave it to you by free and sovereign grace. And I want y'all to leave here tonight with the blessed assurance that you are His. Because you see, if the devil can get you to doubting you're a child of God, he's close to getting you to acting like you're not a child of God. So he comes to Jesus and says, if thou be the Son of God, if you're God's child, why is he letting you suffer? Why is he letting you starve to death? After all, he fed those stubborn, rebellious Hebrews 40 years with bread out of heaven, and now he's letting you starve to death. Satan will get into your head if you'll listen to him. I want y'all to learn how to talk to the devil. And you know the best way to talk to the devil? Quote scripture to him. That's what Jesus did. Jesus says, as it is written. I love this. Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan approaches him two more times with serious temptations, and Jesus confronts him with the word of God. Oh, beloved, may God help us not to give in to the devil who tries to get into our heads and wants us to compare ourselves with other people. See, Paul is saying here, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Not everybody can be absolutely beautiful in this world. A few are absolutely gorgeous. But most people are just kind of, what shall I say? Most of us are just kind of ordinary in our looks. Not everybody can be a great basketball player. Not everybody can be a great football player. So what? Don't compare yourself to other people. Just be thankful. Look in your bowl and see what you got. Amen? Oh, God, help us tonight not to let the devil torment us and rob us of our blessings. I want to turn over with you just a moment to Paul's letter to the Philippians. I tell you, this is one of the greatest verses in all the Bible that will help you and me to keep our minds where they ought to be. In the second chapter of Philippians, Paul would say in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I love that. You and I shouldn't be striving with one another about things and full of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Isn't that a wonderful attitude to have? Just go around esteeming others as better than yourself. That way we can enjoy one another, can't we? And encourage one another and build one another up. And so let's try by God's grace to remember what we have and not compare our car with other people's cars, or your husband or your wife with other people's, or your looks or your height or your intelligence. Or, you know, There's just a lot of things, beloved, that Satan wants you to compare yourself to other people. Don't fall into that trap. Look into your bowl and see what you have got and enjoy it. And I want us to look in our bowl tonight. I'm gonna assume that since y'all are here this evening at a church in Tweeks County, Georgia, that y'all are American citizens. Anybody here that's not an American citizen? If there is, I want you to know, I feel for you. How many of us are blessed to be American citizens? I was born an American citizen. I didn't have to cross the ocean and come over here and study a long time in order to get my citizenship. I was born a citizen. You know, they tell us that over 7 billion people are on the planet Earth tonight, living human beings, 7 billion of them. There's 330 million of us that are American citizens. But we know the vast majority of humans on this earth would love to come to America and have what you and I were born with. Do you know you got it in your bowl? How many of us ever just say, God, thank you, Father, for my American citizenship? Come on now. You say, Brother Sam, we just take that for granted. Well, you shouldn't. You ought to thank God for it. I believe we ought to have strong borders, don't y'all? We shouldn't have borders where people can just come in anytime, and as many of them that want to. They ought to come in right. But I don't blame them for wanting to come. I tell you that. I don't blame them one minute. Because let me tell you, we are blessed in this nation. Incredibly blessed. And let me tell you, brethren and sisters, that's something to be thankful for. I don't have to ask y'all if y'all got nice clothes tonight, because I can look at you and tell y'all are nice. You're well dressed. How many of y'all have closets? How many of y'all could use a bigger closet than you got? Ooh. How many of y'all got plenty of shoes to wear and then some? All that's in your bowl, folks. You're blessed. We are blessed. I'm blessed. How many of y'all have your vision? How many of y'all can still hear? How many of y'all have your taste buds? You know, I know people that have lost their sense of taste and smell due to COVID. My brother Dan still struggles with that. If you have the ability to sit down and enjoy some food and taste it, you know what a blessing that is? Good food and a good appetite is one of life's greatest blessings. And we're all blessed in that. We had that today here at Cool Springs, didn't we? We are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. And there's so many things that we need to think about on a daily basis. Our automobiles. Our kids. Brother Tracy today and Sister Lane were so happy. All 7 of their grandchildren were here today. And all of them in good health. That little baby, that little 4-week-old Easton, wasn't he a dog? You talk about blessing. We are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. And don't let what you don't have keep you from enjoying what you do have. See, Satan will say, well, you don't have this. Yeah, but I got that. Talk to the devil and tell him where to go. That's a sweet laugh, isn't it? I enjoyed that laugh. Nelda's got the sweetest video her son David Aaron sent of his little baby, 6 months old, cackling. And I tell you, she watches it over and over and over. Y'all need to hear it yourself. I enjoy it. Yesterday, her son David Aaron sent a picture of his little 6 month old boy sitting on a pony. That's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And you and I need to learn to appreciate and enjoy what we have. And listen, those of you that are enjoying your kids, you just wait till you have them grandkids.
Brother, they give you a lot to live for, don't they? Sister Winnell told me today, she said, Brother Sam, I got two great grands on the way. I said, Sister Winnell, you're going to need to be around at least 25 more years. They're going to need you. Our children and grandchildren need the grandparents, don't they? Come on now. Let's not Brother Josh Coker, I was talking to him today. He said, Brother Sam, I was quoting you today in a sermon. And he said, I quote you about every Sunday. And he said, I'm just going to get to where I say, I know an old preacher that said. I said, that's me, an old preacher. But, you know, I like this attitude. Old age is always 15 years older than I am. We had a sister at Vestavia, 91 years old, going around talking about the old folks. She didn't even know she was old. Let's try to enjoy our old age, right? I don't want to die before my time. You know, there are people who are just about dead long before they die. I've known 40 years old, 40 people 40 years of age, just kind of existing. And I know 80, and we got one here tonight, no names called, but she's in her 90s and enjoying life. How many of y'all want to do that? How many of y'all want to just keep on enjoying life? Listen, I'm looking forward to going to heaven when I die. I am. But I want to enjoy where I am on my way to where I'm going. And you can enjoy it if you'll look in your bowl and just see what you got. And know that you're blessed. We've got a church. How many of y'all got a church home? Isn't that a blessing? How many of y'all have a Savior who loved you? Did you know God isn't stuck with you? He chose you. Is that right, Brother Michael? Don't ever feel like God just stuck with me. No, He chose you. Just like adopted children. Nelda and I got the sweetest text yesterday about a young lady in Birmingham who was adopted, and she's had a lot of health problems. I mean, it's been tough. But we got a text yesterday. She's engaged. And she got the biggest diamond I believe I've ever seen. I don't know if it's real or not, but it sure is pretty. And I think about her I've been thinking about her a lot today. Her mama and daddy reached into the world of orphans and chose her. And she's special. Well, I want to say to all of y'all tonight, God reached into Adam's broken, dying family and chose you. He chose you before the foundation of this world. And He's not stuck with you. He loves you. And you're not special to Him because you're smart or athletic or rich or all of that. You're special to Him because He loves you with a perfect love. And if y'all could just keep it in your mind how blessed you are, what you have, I tell you, you'd find yourself going around singing. Not singing the blues now, but singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How many of y'all love the 23rd Psalm? I tell you, when you ever get the blues, I want to encourage you to get that out and just read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear what the psalmist said? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall be unhappy and discontented. No, I shall not want. What a Savior, what a God we have. Thank y'all for your wonderful attention.